Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study. I hope that you have all come tonight to study God's Word and to learn from it. We have several lessons we want to teach tonight. Four subtle ways Satan uses media to sabotage our spiritual walk. You know, you can't trust the media to tell you the truth today. They try to deceive you and tell you lies. They try to deceive you and lead you astray. The difference between a manipulator and a saboteur is that one is a con man and the other is a hitman. Satan uses manipulative and deceptive tactics, but his end game is always complete destruction. When it comes to the media, Christian parents are usually diligent in monitoring the content we allow our children to view. But it is possible we've become lax in guarding our own hearts and minds against Satan's schemes. Like the leaders of Issachar, we must make ourselves alert to the enemy's tactics by understanding the times. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, and we'll be reading verse 23 through 32. And these are the names of the bands that were ready, armed to war, and came to David to Hebron to take the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready, armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. And Joadiah was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. And Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For here too, the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. And of the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. And of the half a tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name, to come and make David king. Now I want you to notice verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at that commandment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, today and tonight for your word that you're going to share with us to see how the media deceives us with their many tactics. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this Bible study, Lord, as we go through your word and we see the many ways that we can overcome that temptation to be deceived. Father, help us, lead us, and guide us, for it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Now, first we want to look at the media's evolving manipulation. Over 30 years ago, American linguist and political activist Noam Chomsky wrote about the manipulation strategies of the media. Instead of being outraged by Chomsky's 10-point list, media hailed his assessments. Genius and markers have used his playbook ever since. Now, decades later, with free news and entertainment at our fingertips, Chomsky's list seems like child's play. Media manipulation exploits the difference between perception and reality, says Ryan Holiday. And he should know. He's been a PR strategist for billion-dollar brands and best-selling authors. My job was to use the media to make people do or think things they otherwise would not, Holiday says in his Forbes article about media manipulation. Holiday has since written his best-selling book designed to expose media exploitation and the people behind the curtain pulling the puppet strings. Manipulation strategies have become big business in all industries. Behavioral science experts are hired by the media, the government, banks, department stores, pharmaceutical companies for the express purpose of predicting human behavior patterns so that they can then change behavior for the better world. The problem for Christians is this. We do not belong to this world. We may live in this world, but we are not of this world, and we do not belong to this world. Nor should our behavior be determined by the puppet masters who desire to change it. Our kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and our master is Christ Jesus alone. So, how can we Christians fight the fiery darts of the enemy launched at us through the media's manipulation? We stand our ground, take up our armor, pray, and be on guard against the enemy's schemes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." To expose just a few of those schemes, here are four subtle ways Satan uses media to sabotage our spiritual lives. Number one, calling good evil and evil good. I know you know today that our media does not see everything as good. They do not see everything as evil, even though it is evil. We have a society today where the media cannot tell the truth. We have a media today that does not present the truth to our society. They print lies, they tell lies, they do not tell the truth in many instances. Remember the good old days when superhero movies were full of good guys and bad guys and we could easily spot the difference. Those days are fading fast, along with the line between good and evil. Even more disturbing is the fact that while with the rise of origin story themed movies, not only are moral lines being blurred, but the roles of hero and villain are being reversed. You can't help feeling sorry for the poor cruel featured in Disney's movie with the same name. Her childhood, suffering, and charming stubbornness surely must earn the infamous Dalmatian lover-hater the right to kill, steal, and destroy. Shouldn't they? This is a subtle message being perpetrated through countless movies that are now painting classic villains in a sympathetic light by spinning the tale of their tragic upbringing. This seemingly innocent form of entertainment is anything but. Satan first exercised this scheme to flip-flop humanity's perception of good and evil when he met with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he has repeatedly used the tactic throughout history. Adolf Hitler, verbalized Satan's favorite ploy when he said, "By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell or an extremely wretched life as paradise." Every time Christians watch a movie, television show, or video clip and find themselves inadvertently rooting for evil, you can be sure that the content of that programming is working Satan's age-old purpose into their subconscious. It seems the only thing that changed in our media-driven era is that Satan is no longer forced to masquerade as an angel of light to manipulate our ideas. A villain will do just fine. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 warns us, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's exactly what is happening in our society today. We see the TV shows with gay people, the TV shows with lesbians and homosexuals, and men kissing men, women kissing women, and so forth. We see they're calling it the good lifestyle, today's family, and everybody is accepting it as good. That's the state we live in today. Not only our government is proceeding to approve all of these sinful lifestyles, but our media and our television shows are portraying them as the way to live, as a good natural way to live, when God's word says it is an abomination. Listen, my friend, you need to understand what Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah warns us not to do this, not to accept these sinful lifestyles as being good. He warns us not to call this evil good and evil and good evil. He warns us so many times throughout Scripture that we are not to do this. So, my friend, we need to understand that Satan is using this tactic to try to lead us astray. The second way Satan uses media to sabotage our spiritual walk is using feel-good memes with real bad theology. An internet meme is an image or video that conveys a brief message and is then shared through social media platforms. Most memes today are humorous, but some are motivational and distressing in nature. Whether they make us laugh, cringe, or cry, these little messages pack a powerful punch of persuasion because they accommodate our short attention span and penetrate our thoughts through emotional stimulation. Ideas like "follow your heart," "love your life" seem uplifting and encouraging at face value, especially if the sentiment is set to music, posted with love, and packaged in an appealing array of colors and adorable images. Who could ever find these positive messages offensive? There is one who does, and his truth exposes these beautifully wrapped ideas for what they are: deception. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" John chapter 12, verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." The third way Satan uses media to sabotage our spiritual walk is turning laughter into a mind-altering drug. Ever wonder why so many advertisements on television shows are humor-based? Laughter is a secret weapon when it comes to drawing in a target audience and disarming their preconceived notions. Centuries after the writer of Proverbs 17, verse 22, branded a cheerful heart as good medicine, science discovered that laughter delivers more than an over-the-counter dose of both dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins to the brain's emotional reward center. Matt Abrams, professor of communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business, puts it this way: humor is like a Swiss Army knife. It allows you to connect with your audience, diffuse tension, alleviate status, and compel others to your point of view. Listen, because humor has the ability to relieve tensions and alleviate happy hormones, it works like a powerful conduit between the ideas of the comedian and the ideas of the audience. This is why more and more politically based programming is becoming aired with comedic format. Listen, the media's goal is to sway political opinion through humor is not far-fetched, considering they have already seen huge success from their efforts to change social norms through sitcoms. The situational comedy, that no-so-humble sitcom has long acted as a bullhorn for social mores and a pop culture measuring stick for social movements. History attests to the staggering role sitcoms have played in social change. Traditional gender roles are now perceived as toxic, misguided, or irrelevant after years of comedy troupes that cast men as bumbling idiots and women as their saviors. The fear of God has been replaced with self-empowerment. The value of virtue replaced with enlightened sexual expression. And society's idea of traditional marriage has become the biggest joke of all. No longer do we see a man and a woman seen as a traditional marriage. We have so many gay couples today on TV spreading their false lies and getting people to believe these are acceptable lifestyles to God. Let me tell you something, my friend. The Bible throughout it says that it is against nature, that a homosexual lifestyle is an abomination to God. Paul said it's against nature and these things should not be so. Let me tell you something, my friend. Even though people have tried to change traditional marriage to two women or two men, God does not accept it. Now, God still loves the people and wants them to be saved, but God does not accept their lifestyle. God does not accept the way they're living, and God does not accept it as a traditional lifestyle. The book of Genesis says, "A man shall leave his wife, and they two shall be joined together, leave his mother and father, and these two shall be joined together as one flesh." Nowhere in the Bible will you see it's acceptable to God for two men to be married or two women to be married. It is an abomination to God, and we as Christians ought to know the difference in a traditional marriage and an abomination marriage such as they're portraying. But let me tell you something. They're turning this laughter into a mind-altering drug. They're making you think this is an acceptable lifestyle. They're making you think that God accepts it. They're making you think that God is going to allow it. But let me tell you something, my friend. God's word never changes. God's word never changes. If it was sin in his day, it's still sin today. Society's idea of traditional marriage has become the biggest joke of all. But here's the thing. as destructive as sitcoms have been to godly values, they are like child's July 4th sparkler compared to the atom bomb of social media. Countless internet platforms and social apps exist for the sole purpose of providing a quick laugh. These modern mini sitcoms on steroids can administer a dose of humorous deception in less than a minute. And research indicates that the average American spends 145 minutes on these platforms daily. Should Christians laugh and have a good time? Absolutely. It is okay for believers to tell jokes and watch funny programs and video clips, of course. But if we're watching and posting things that are contrary to God's ways and His truth because we think we're immune to the enemy's schemes, we're deceiving ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Joy is a gift from the Lord. True delight can only be found in Him. Everything else that tries to take its place in our lives is a sham, a temporary fix for our eternal issue. Satan uses crude, cheap laughs to artificially appease our longing for true joy. When our defenses are down, he then takes advantage of our stupor to supplant God's truth with falsehood. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The fourth way Satan uses media to sabotage our spiritual walk is turning lighthouse into laundromats. Many Christians have been there. I know I have. You had to run in with a rude customer service agent, a friend or family member treat you unfairly, someone in the church disappoints you, or you suffer injustice at the hand of an employer or agency. You try to pray about the issue, but still, your frustration reaches a boiling point and you just have to spew. Social media provides the perfect platform for commiseration. Thanks to privacy settings, we feel safe to tell it like it is within the confines of our friends' group. We pride ourselves in the exercise of transparent candor and relish the likes and comments that follow our concise, one-sided rants against the ills of society. And that's okay, because my wall, my post, right? My wall on Facebook, my post. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. My wall, my post. With every notification ding, we begin to feel better about life. Whether relieved to no longer bear our anguish alone, but then, did so-and-so really have the audacity to hijack our tirade and cash in our own 2 cents on our post? Like ravenous vultures, friends and frenemies claw their way out of the virtual woodwork and begin to circle each other as prey. We had no idea half of them were listening until the war of words began. Our original grievance is lost in a bloodbath, but even more devastating, our godly witness is forfeited in the throes of battle. Christ gave us His light so that it could shine through us and draw the world to Him. Our dirty laundry not only acts as a bushel for that light, but airing our dirty laundry online plays into Satan's schemes to divide and conquer. According to a recent poll, 64% of Americans believe social media does more to divide us than unite us. Despite the claims of Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, Zuckerberg insists that by giving people the power to share, we're making the world more transparent. He also predicts the emergence of a future metaverse, a virtual universe where all people will socialize, work, and play in communal bliss. Zuckerberg's dream of a virtual universe may very well become reality, but as for the children of God, our universe, our community, have already been founded by Jesus Christ, and in Him we live, move, and have our being. How then shall we live? I want to talk about this for just a minute. How then shall we live? Well, the first thing is not to watch news programs, because they show nothing but bad news on them, and they very seldom ever tell the truth. You cannot get the truth out of the news media. So, do like me. Don't watch news. I never watch a news program on TV. Why? Because I found that they do not tell the truth. They spread rumors, lies, and innuendos. They cannot come up with the truth. The View spreads lies and rumors. Saturday Night Live spreads lies and rumors. All around us we see network after network after network, news program after news program after news program, spreading lies and rumors, not telling the truth to the American people. Even our government has got to where they do not want us to know the truth about the COVID pandemic. They spread lies, they spread rumors, they spread everything they can to instill fear in the American people and keep us bound up like rats in a cage. Listen, my friend, how shall we live? Well, the purpose of this message is not to call a ban on all media, but to expose some of the dangers that threaten our daily Christian walk and witness. But praise God, it's true. Media has been used and still can be used by God as a powerful platform to spread His truth. My hope is that by diligently seeking Him about our media choices and not being ignorant of Satan's devices, we can walk in this world as children of light. Ephesians 5, verse 8 reminds us, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Walk as children of the light. Always live a godly example in front of other people. Don't spread lies. Don't spread rumors. Don't spread gossip. Don't try to stir up problems. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion in churches, but of peace in all churches. Listen, my friend, if you're in a church that spreads lies and rumors and innuendo and going about doing bad and trying to cause division, get out of that church. Find you another church that shows love and forgiveness and mercy and companionship and unity. Listen, my friend, long ago, Satan started this downfall of humanity. In the Garden of Eden, when he told Eve the first lie, when he asked Eve what God had said, Eve said, "God said we should not eat nor touch the fruit of the tree lest we die." God did not say that. Eve told the first lie. God said, "Do not eat of that fruit of that tree, lest you die." She said, "We were not allowed to touch it or eat it." They could have touched it all they want, but they were not allowed to eat it. And Satan said this. Satan said the second lie. He said, "You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die." Satan has begun back in the Garden of Eden of manipulating human beings. He manipulated Eve into believing that she would not die if she ate the fruit. But what happened? They died spiritually and they died physically. They were created to live forever. But because of the sin of Eve and the sin of Adam, they died a spiritual death first and then an eternal death in the thralls of humanity. Listen, my friend, how shall we live? The Bible is clear in Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Don't listen to lies. Don't adhere to lies. Don't believe the lies of the media. Check your facts. Believe what you can prove. Don't ever believe that good is bad, that good is evil, and evil is good. That's what the world would have you believe. That's what society is teaching you. That's what the news media is trying to put before you, is to make evil good and make good evil. Listen, if you'll walk as children of the light, if you'll believe that God can lead you and the Holy Spirit can guide you to walk, you will walk successfully. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the message you've given me tonight to share. We pray, Father, that everyone will take this message and use it to the uplifting of your kingdom. Lord, to know that the media is out to change our mind, to deceive us, to make us think things that are evil or good, and to make us think things that are good evil. Help us to know the difference. Help us to study your word and learn what is correct in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.